This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Good morning. During the French Revolution, three Christians were arrested and were sentenced to be to die by guillotine. One Christian had the gift of faith, the other the gift of prophecy, and the final one, the gift of helps. The Christian with the gift of faith was the first to be executed. He was asked if he wanted to wear a hood over his head. He declined and said, "No, I'm not afraid to die. I have faith God will deliver me." His head was positioned under the guillotine and his neck on the chopping block. He looked up at the sharp blade and said a short prayer and waited confidently. The rope was pulled. Nothing happened. His executioners were amazed and they released him, believing that God was at work and it must have been an act of God. Next, they tried to execute the man with the gift of prophecy. His head was positioned under the guillotine. He too was asked whether he wanted to wear a hood. "No," he said, "I'm not afraid to die. However, I predict that God will deliver me from this guillotine." At that, the rope was pulled, and again, nothing happened. Once again, the puzzled executioners assumed that this must have been an act from God and released him. The third Christian, with the gift of helps, you probably guess what's going to happen, was next. He was brought to the guillotine and likewise asked if he wanted to wear a hood. "No, I'm just as brave as the other two guys." The executioners positioned him face up under the guillotine and were about to pull the rope when the man stopped them and said, "Hang on a minute, I think I found a problem with your guillotine." This morning we're continuing our mini-series on the spiritual gifts. Anne started last week introducing us to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to pick up with that this morning. And Molly's going to finish off next week looking at tongues in particular. And these gifts are gifts that God gives us and blesses us with to reveal himself to the world. The God of love, the God of truth, the God of power. The real God, the God who revealed himself in and through Jesus Christ, wants to be known. And one of the major ways he does that is through these spiritual gifts. They're like, spiritual gifts are like these geysers behind me, bursting through the surface of the earth's crust. Whilst everyone is sitting around, kind of living a safe, predictable life, up from the ground will burst this spring. A spring of the Holy Spirit's presence through the spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, therefore, are a way that the Spirit is shown. The way the invisible God becomes visible. Put another way, if our aspiration is to become more Christ-like and do the things that Jesus did and say the things that he said with the same impact and power, being filled by the Holy Spirit and asking God to release his Spirit, spiritual gifts in particular, helps us to do this together as a body. The Spirit fills and releases us with timely gifting, alongside often the augmentation of our natural gifting to be able to do what Jesus did. We are all different. Our gifting is different. But together, and only together, can we do what Jesus did. So if you'd like to join me in opening your Bibles, we're picking up, I say, 1 Corinthians 12, and in particular from verse 27. There are two books of Corinthians. We're looking at 1 Corinthians, and they're both in the New Testament. They both are fairly soon after the four main Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So if you find one of them and keep turning, you'll eventually hit Corinthians. Okay? And Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, which is in modern-day Greece. You can see it on the map behind me. Okay? And he is based in Ephesus, which would be in Turkey now. And it's about 53 to 56 AD, so about 20 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And much of the book is a series of responses to questions that that church had to Paul. So Paul is the writer. And they just faced everyday problems about being Christians, much like we do. They fortunately had a guy called Paul who they could write to, and he fortunately wrote back. And he was, you know, a pretty wise guy. And towards the end of the book, in chapter 12, Paul is specifically addressing the issue of spiritual gifts. And in particular, the issue that the church in Corinth had was that they placed huge emphasis on this gift of tongues. Okay, so Paul is looking to correct their thinking and also just offer some advice as to how they actually deal with these spiritual gifts. So let's pick it up in verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that time of worship and that you are alive and that you are with us now. And as we explore this topic together, just that you would open our eyes and ears to what you've got to say to us as individuals this morning. We thank you for the work you're doing in the kids groups now. And with your Holy Spirit, just pour out on all of us. Amen. Have you ever been asked the question, how does God speak to you? How do you know what God is calling you to do? I was recently asked this question, and to be honest, it completely threw me. As I look back on my life, how did I know to get married, for example? How did I know when God has spoken to me? How did I know to become a teacher? Or how did I know to have a child, buy a house? When I thought about it, most of those major decisions that I've made in life were based on the wise counsel of friends, spotting open doors in front of me, gut feelings prompted by God. Now, whilst all of those are completely biblical and, in my opinion, very wise things to do and a very wise way to make decisions, there was something inside of me that knew there was something missing. And when I thought about it, I realized that actually they all operated within the natural world that I have no doubt God utilizes really well. Yet the spiritual, supernatural spiritual gifts that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 wasn't at the forefront of my mind. And I thought, I felt quite challenged. And in truth, my analytical kind of personality, my fear of embarrassment, my slightly introverted nature at times meant that I'd probably gone through life relying far more on my natural inclination than perhaps my supernatural relationship with God. Now, when I did reflect more deeply on it, I could pick out times where actually I had utilized spiritual gifts, but I felt more challenged than that. I felt that I needed to and I wanted to become more naturally supernatural. Paul explains that the gifts are given to us via the Holy Spirit, and the gifts described in the first part of the passage that Anne looked at last week are representative rather than a complete list. In fact, if you go through the New Testament, there are about 5 or 6 different lists, and if you total up all the different gifts, it comes to about 23, 24 different gifts, and they encompass a range of things, helps, for example, being one. I'm sure, though, if Paul was writing to us as a church in Leeds, there would be another 20 different gifts he would be advising us about. For example, the ability to serve cross-culturally would be one that would be highly relevant in our society right now, but isn't listed in the New Testament. Just a bit of background about spiritual gifts, just so we're kind of clear on what we're talking about here. They are not the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, love, joy, patience, self-control, that type of thing. They are slightly different to that. And likewise, they're not toys to play with. Okay, spiritual gifts aren't things that we can just, they are gifts from God. They're not toys for us to just brand about unnecessarily. And they're certainly not trophies to boast about. I think really importantly, that they're not a mark of spirituality. What I mean by that is God doesn't require you or I to pass an exam to engage in using spiritual gifts. Time and time again, in fact, actually, if you look through the history of the church, people get saved, come to Christ, and then straight away are using spiritual gifts. And they are not natural talents. And there's a bit, this is where the boundaries get a bit blurred. It's inevitable that God will use our natural talents alongside spiritual gifts, but they are not the same. So, for example, a worship leader has a natural talent of music. But it's only when they ask for God's Holy Spirit that they are able to lead people into a place of worship, maybe with the gift of prophecy or wisdom as they plan a set or as they see what God is doing. So they work together. They are, though, to be desired. In verse 31, it says to eagerly desire the greater gifts. And then they're also given in situation. And again, if you if you're into your theology, that I know some of you are, and you read up about this, there's a various kind of different fields of thought on this. That some are permanent, say that they're given permanently, and some are given in situation. In the vineyard, we believe that they are given in situation as God chooses. And God gives us these gifts for the need rather than permanently. That's not to say that people don't experience those gifts on a regular basis. It's just that actually one person alone is not prophetic or a healer, for example. A useful way to think about the spiritual gifts is like a toolbox that we can dip into. John Wimber, who founded the Vineyard, used to say, "I have nothing in my pockets. I only have what God has given me." In other terms, he alone was not prophetic. He didn't walk into a room as a prophet. He walked into a room as a servant of God, and God gave him gifts to use. If God wants us to be prophetic, he will give us the gift of prophecy. If he wants us to be wise, he gives us the gift of wisdom. Earlier in the chapter, Paul in verse 7 advises that the gifts are not for the individual recipient's benefit, but to help each other. And it's this collective and supportive theme that we then see in this later part of the passage that we've read this morning. And actually, as we explore this a bit more, I want to highlight two things that are really apparent and really important in terms of what Paul is trying to say. And that's firstly, that these spiritual gifts should be greatly desired. And secondly, that they are there for us as a community. So, as we read this passage, we see that Paul sees the church as a living and dynamic body of Christ. He makes no formal distinction between professional clergy and laity and the work that is done. I like how Paul asks a series of rhetorical questions to illustrate this point that are quite tongue-in-cheek. Verses 29 to 30 says, are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Do we all have the power to do miracles? The answer to which is, of course, no. And Paul is gently rebuking those who are jealous of others. He is stating that these spiritual gifts are not exclusive to one person or an individual, and they shouldn't be elevated above one another, as was the case in the church in Corinth with tongues. But they should be gratefully received and accepted. The gifts should also be desired and are an incredibly important part of working together as the body of Christ. Now, when I think back to the challenge of being asked the question, how does God speak to me? I realize that God has and does speak to me through spiritual gifts. But my challenge, therefore, is that perhaps my response isn't as natural as it could be. That I should desire to become more supernatural in my relationship with God. I think when it comes to spiritual gifts, there's two extremes that we tend to sometimes find ourselves in, but maybe should look to avoid. On one hand of the spectrum, we've got people that looking to identify people because of a spiritual gift. That the gifting somehow becomes somebody's identity. And we've put them on some form of pedestal above us. Or even as an individual, we form our identity through our own spiritual gifting, perhaps. But at the other end, we can exclude ourselves and say that I'm not spiritual enough, holy enough, righteous enough to be involved with spiritual gifts. But Paul here keeps it really simple. He just encourages us to desire, to seek out. Just to give you some context about my own story, I've grown up in a Christian family, and I actively, as a family, we've actively always kind of engaged with the Holy Spirit in working our lives. And since a very young age, I've been in churches where this is encouraged, and people are prayed for healing, people desire the spiritual gifts. It's kind of commonplace. It's what my experience at church has been. In essence, therefore, my expectation of these spiritual gifts should really feel like a natural expression, but in reality, it's not. People are going to have different experiences within this room. And I know that if I hadn't had the Christian upbringing that I had had, to be honest, I'd find them pretty freaky at times. And even after years of experience and seeing God at work through spiritual gifts, I still sometimes feel uncomfortable when I see them expressed. But what I've learned to understand is that that's okay. It's okay to question what is going on. It's okay to question people about what's happening. As long, though, as I am open to the fact that God could and will work in me in the same way. And actually, I should long and desire for those gifts in me to bless others. So point one, these gifts should be desired. They are available for us to use. So please take away from this that nobody is ruled out of receiving the spiritual gifts. Paul's also emphasizing, though, the importance of them being used as a community. And he realizes that different people, as we said earlier, have different gifting, both spiritually and naturally, and yet only together can we create growth as a church. Guided by the Holy Spirit, every believer was to use their gifting to benefit the church. Every individual has an important part to play. If you look back at the preceding verses from verse 12 up to verse 27, there's a whole metaphor of the body of Christ being like the human body. And every part has its own unique and invaluable part to play. Utilizing our spiritual gifts is important in making that body work. Let me illustrate. So let's say next Sunday, picnic in the church, somebody drops a plate full of desserts on the floor. Okay. This is how people with different spiritual gifts might respond. The gift of prophecy. That's what happens when you're not careful. The gift of service. Oh, please, can I help you, please? The gift of teaching. The reason that fell on the floor was because it was too heavy on one side. The gift of exhortation. Next time, maybe you should let somebody else carry it. Gift of giving. Here, please, have my dessert. The gift of mercy. Don't feel too bad. It could have happened to anyone. The gift of administration. I think Anne Button's out in the room. Jim, would you please get the mop? Sue, can you help pick that up? And Miriam, could you find him another dessert, please? We're all gifted differently, so we act differently, and we respond differently, and we serve differently. D- This church has every gift it's needed to be a biblical community. You are needed in this church. God has gifted you, and now he wants you to use that. Don't allow yourself to think that in this church you don't matter, or in any church, because nobody can do everything, but everyone can do something. I love the final verse of this chapter. It says, "And I will show you a still more excellent way." I love it because it's a page turner, isn't it? If that was a novel and that was the end of the chapter, you would not be going to bed at that point. You would be exploring what is the next thing. And what Paul goes on in chapter 13 to talk about is love. Paul is saying that you can have all these amazing gifts. You can desire them. You can use them. But don't forget to do it lovingly above anything else. As Anne said last week, the Greek word for gift is charismata, and that's derived from charis, which means grace. There are not rewards for being the most spiritual. These gifts are not rewards for being the most spiritual. They are gifts freely given, unearned gifts of God's grace. The most important thing for Christians then and for us now is to become more deeply and consistently loving towards people. Let me bring us into land. As you've listened this morning, each of you and I are in completely different places when it comes to our interaction and our dealing with spiritual gifts. It's important that no matter what your experience is or what your feeling is, that you know you are very welcome here. I hope that my story has shown you it's okay to question. It's okay to feel uncomfortable at times. So where am I at on my journey? Well, I believe that spiritual gifts are one of the ways that God wants us to be involved. And that when we dip into our toolbox, he gives us these gifts that enable us to love others in ways that we couldn't possibly do by ourselves. I believe that all of us here are on a journey to become more Christ-like and becoming more naturally supernatural in our experience with God, and relying on God's spiritual gifts is a key part of that. Finally, I believe that the ignorance related to spiritual gifts is not our basic problem. More basic is the problem of not desiring to strengthen other people's faith by being patient and kind, refusing to boast, not being easily angered, and by keeping no records of wrongs. As we aim to love and ask God for his help, guess what? There's a massive box of tools he's ready to give us, enabling us to live a life in the way that Jesus would have. Essentially, we are just a tool that God uses. When it's put like that, doesn't it feel great? Doesn't it sound exciting? That God would use you or me as a way to bless others. And I love the fact that he doesn't need to, but he loves it when we're involved. He loves that as we step out in faith and into relationship with him, we begin to understand a little bit about his grace, compassion, and love for others. Quite frankly, I want to need a little bit more of that. Will you stand, please? We're just going to... Anne's going to come up and give us a hand. As we were planning this morning, I felt it's just really important that we had an opportunity to just receive. We've already spent some time in silence and just asking God to speak to us. And it was just that sense of we're all in different places, but God's got gifts for us all. And sometimes we just need to ask. Sometimes we just need to say, God, whatever you want from me right now, I'm here, I'm listening. For some of you, you may not have experienced spiritual gifts before, and this is all a bit weird, and you don't really understand what's going on. That's fine, and we'd love to pray for you for that as well. But we're just going to spend some time just listening to God. We've got a few minutes yet before we need to collect the kids, and just asking God to release his spirit. So why don't we hold on our hands and just ask God to come now.
Yeah, I'm just excited about what God's Spirit is going to bring to us this morning as we just say yes. We want to move beyond the natural. We want to bless each other by moving in God's supernatural gifts. And Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come. We ask you to bring those gifts. We ask you to release them into people's lives this morning. We're so dependent on you. Just thank you that it's all about your grace. We want to be like children who can't wait to get at the presence. We just want to receive from you this morning. You come, Holy Spirit. I had a real sense this morning that God wants to flood people with his life and with his power. That there may be parts of you that feel drained or weary, disappointed, or even fearful, and God just wants to come. And he wants to drench you with his Holy Spirit and his power. Yes, bring more Holy Spirit, more of you. Just rest on people this morning. I reveal there's people here that God wants to whisper in your ear about the gifts that he's excited about you using. And there's people he wants to just awaken memories of times you've done things together, and he's just equipped you for that moment, and he just wants to put excitement in your heart about that. Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Yeah, more of you. It's that wonderful verse in the Bible where Paul encourages Timothy to fan into the flame the gift that he received by the laying on of hands. And there's something about that relationship, that being the body, where we lay a hand of prayer on one another and the Holy Spirit's power comes and moves. So if you're engaged with God, I just want to encourage you to stay in that place. If you're excited this morning about just stepping out and using spiritual gifts, and you're a regular here, I want to encourage you to just look around and to just ask the Holy Spirit for who you can go and pray for. And as we go and pray for one another, as we lay hands upon one another and invite the Holy Spirit to come, invite him to bring his gifts, then really push to have that expectancy that you're going to reach into your toolbox and there's going to be words, there's going to be prophetic, there's going to be just the Spirit moving through you. So just take a moment, and if you want to just go minister someone near you, then I just really want to welcome you to do that. Yeah, just keep coming, Holy Spirit. Keep pouring out.
I just had a sense then, as Anne was praying for this outpouring of spiritual gifts, that I could feel a weight across my shoulders, like a burden. This is a phrase that we sometimes use in the Vineyard, and I know it sounds a bit odd, but it wasn't my burden. I think it was a picture of how somebody else here feels when they hear about a pouring of spiritual gifts, and it feels like a burden that you're going to have to carry. And I think God wants to say that is so far from what an outpouring of spiritual gifts is. It's so far from the intention of it. It's not a burden. It's a it's a massive blessing from God. So, yeah, if there's anybody here that feels like that, that when they hear about spiritual gifts, that this is something I'll have to carry and I'll have to administer and I'll have to use, and it feels like a burden, then yeah, I'd love to pray with you. So, give us a shout and I'll happily do so.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, and if there's anyone here today and you've come and you need healing or you need a breakthrough in something, we want to exercise our spiritual gifts this morning by being a body, by praying for one another. So as we just draw nearer to the time when we do need to go to the children, I just want to welcome anybody forward who would like prayer. And again, if any of the regulars here who would like to just push out, take a risk and come and pray and expect God to have a word for those people, and I welcome you to come to pray. So, yeah, please do come for prayer if you'd like to this morning.
If you do have children, now would be a good time to go and get them. But please don't leave this morning without receiving prayer, as Anna said. If God is speaking to you, just please don't leave without prayer. Thank you for coming.